Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Monday, March 12th, 2018. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Idaho House passes mandatory abortion reversal referral bill and sends it to Governor Otter. Idaho House passes bill impacting mandatory minimum sentences in drug cases. Washington legislature and session with some tax changes and nearly full slates of candidates on the ballot this year. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. The Idaho House today passed the so-called abortion reversal bill, which originated in the Senate, sending it to Governor Butch Otter's desk for his signature. The bill would require health workers to provide women seeking an abortion referrals to information about the ability of women to reverse chemically induced abortions after taking the first pills. The Idaho Health and Welfare Department would be required to provide the information to healthcare workers to refer to the patients. The bill passed despite the lack of medical and scientific evidence that an abortion can be reversed. According to the Spokesman Review website, Democratic Representative Melissa Wintrow told fellow representatives on the House floor, "The bill is very dangerous." Wintrow said, "It's not a protocol. And it's not a scientific study, and it's not a real thing. Women can make up their minds, and they don't need to have a bunch of information that is misleading and misguided." Democratic Representative Elaine Smith of Pocatello told the House abortion reversal is unproven and unethical. Smith said it has not been tested for safety, effectiveness, or the likelihood of side effects. She also said a lawsuit like the one over a similar law passed in Arizona would be costly for the state. During an earlier debate on the bill in a Senate committee, Democratic Senator Michelle Stennett of Ketchum noted the procedure is not FDA approved and called the vote on the bill premature. Republican Representative John Vanderwood of Nampa said on the House floor today, "I don't know what more evidence we need that it works if you see a healthy child standing right there in front of you." Republicans such as Representative Guyanne DeMordant of Eagle cast the bill as empowering to women. DeMordant said the bill is, quote, empowering women with information. Others were more clear about the anti-abortion agenda in the legislation. Republican Representative Kerry Hanks said, "It's difficult. It's almost impossible for me to speak because I feel this so strongly. These aborted, these are preborn babies. I just want to remind us who are Republicans that in our platform it talks about right to life, that we reaffirm our support for the sanctity of life from conception to natural death." The Idaho House today passed a bill giving judges more discretion in sentencing people under the state's mandatory minimum laws for drug cases. The bill, which passed 46-20 after contentious debate, would allow a judge to impose a more lenient sentence to a drug offender if the judge decides it would be a, quote, manifest injustice, unquote, to society to impose the mandatory minimum, and if the judge determines there's no danger to society from an earlier release. Republican Representative Christy Perry of Nampa said Idaho's mandatory minimum laws define drug trafficking solely on the amount of confiscated drugs entered into evidence and require long prison sentences if the person had the drugs for personal use, even. Perry co-sponsored the bill with Democrat Elena Rubel of Boise, who said, "Under our current law, all that matters is how many grams you have on your person. It doesn't matter if you've never committed another crime in your life. You are going away to prison for 5 years or 10 years or 15 years. I hope you will be brave and do what's right here." Republican Representative Luke Malik of Coeur d'Alene said he was convinced changing the mandatory minimum requirement will lead to more organized crime in Idaho because he said drug trafficking is the number one tool of organized crime. Malik said, "You can guarantee that when organized crime sees that we have chosen to eliminate a disincentive for them to do business in Idaho, you will see an increase in all of this in the state of Idaho." The House bill now heads to the Senate. Republicans in the Idaho House called real estate property sacred when passing a bill that increases penalties for people caught trespassing. The bill was sponsored by Republican Judy Boyle of Midvale. Republican Representative Christy Perry of Nampa said a lobbyist for a Texas family who bought large parcels in Valley County asked her to do something in the legislature to increase the penalties for those who trespass. A Spokesman Review website reports the lobbyist was likely Suzanne Budge, who is registered to represent the Wilkes Brothers of Cisco, Texas. The Wilkes Brothers closed their Valley County property off to hunting and public access, which led to confrontations with local residents. The Idaho Statesman reports the Property Rights Coalition promoted the bill to legislators for nearly a month, including working with Representative Boyle, but did not register as a lobbying group until Wednesday of last week. Boyle denied the lobbyists' involvement on the House floor. Boyle said, "This bill was not brought to me by a lobbyist a few months ago." Referring to Perry, Boyle said, "I don't know exactly what the lady from 11 was discussing here." The bill passed 45-22. Republican Representative Heather Scott of Blanchard claimed the bill was needed because of radical environmental groups. She said she got calls from hunters in her district opposed to the bill. Scott said, "My first question was, are you a trespasser? They said no. I couldn't understand the source of all these calls until we read something on Facebook. These radical environmental groups that definitely have an agenda against private property owners." The increase in political engagement due to the Trump presidency has trickled down to the local and state level, where a large number of candidates are running for various state and county seats as of Friday's candidacy filing deadline in Idaho. There will be a number of contested primaries in Idaho May 15th, both on the Republican and Democratic sides. Republican U.S. Representative Raul Labrador is vacating his District 1 congressional seat to run for governor, leading 14 candidates to file for the seat. The three Democrats in that race are Christina McNeil of Boise, Michael Smith of Post Falls, and James Vandermas of Eagle. There are five Republicans in the race, including former State Senator Russ Fulcher of Meridian, who lost the Republican primary against Butch Otter when running for governor in 2014, former Lieutenant Governor David Leroy of Boise, Representative Luke Malik of Coeur d'Alene, Republican Representative Christy Perry of Nampa, Nick Henderson of Post Falls, and Michael Snyder of Bonners Ferry. Also in the race are Libertarian W. Scott Howard of Post Falls, Constitution Party member pro-life, formerly known as Marvin Richardson of Letha, and Independents Gordon Council of Caldwell and Paul Farmer of Meridian. In the race for governor, the three Democratic candidates are Boise School Board President A.J. Balakoff of Boise, who lost to Butch Otter in the 2014 general election, former State Representative Paulette Jordan of Plummer, and Peter Dill of Emmett. The seven Republicans running for governor are U.S. Representative Raul Labrador of Boise, current Lieutenant Governor Brad Little of Emmett, Tommy Alquist of Eagle, Harley Delano Brown of Nampa, Dalton Ben Kennedy of Boise, Lisa Marie of Boise, and Steve Pankey of Twin Falls. Also in the race for governor are Libertarian Bev Angel Beck of Boise and Constitution Party member Walter Bays of Letha. Republican Jeff Dillon of Wilder will challenge incumbent Superintendent of Public Instruction Sherry Ibarra of Mountain Home in the Republican primary. There are two Democrats running for Superintendent of Public Instruction. They are Alan Humble of Boise and Cindy Wilson of Meridian. Incumbent Republican Attorney General Lawrence Wasdin will face Democrat Bruce Bistline of Boise in the November general election. There's a Democratic primary for Secretary of State. Joseph Chastain of Boise is running against Jill Humble of Boise. The winner will take on incumbent Republican Secretary of State Lawrence Denny. The two Democrats running for lieutenant governor are Kristen Collum of Boise and Jim Fabe of Sun Valley. The winner will take on one of the six Republicans running. They are Rebecca Arnold of Boise, State Senator Marv Hagedorn of Meridian, former State Representative Janice McGeachin of Idaho Falls, State Senator Bob Nonini of Coeur d'Alene, Kelly Packer of McCammon, and Steve Yates of Boise. Current Lieutenant Governor Brad Little is running for governor. There are three Republicans in the race for state treasurer. They are Julie Ellsworth of Boise, Tom Keeley of Boise, and Vicki McIntyre of Boise. No Democrats have filed for that seat. Republican treasurer Ron Crane is retiring. Republican incumbent state controller Brandon Wolf is running unopposed for re-election. There will be a Democratic primary for the Idaho House seat 5B this year. District 5 is made up of all of Latah and Benoit counties. The two Democrats are Loreen Sorensen of Moscow and Terry Hardman of DeSmet. The winner will face incumbent Republican Carolyn Troy of Genesee. Sorensen lost to Troy in 2016. There will be a Republican primary in the House seat 5A race. Bill Gosling of Moscow, who lost a race in 2010 for Latah County Commissioner against Democrat Tom Stroshine, will face Harry Heath of Santa. The winner will face incumbent Democrat Margie Gannon of St. Mary's. For state Senate, incumbent Republican Dan Foreman of Moscow will face former Moscow Mayor Marshall Comstock in the Republican primary, and the winner will face former Latah County Democrats Chair David Nelson of Moscow in the general election. In District 6, made up of Nez Perce and Lewis counties, incumbent Republican Mike Kingsley will face former House Minority Leader John Rushi in the November general election. The two, both from Lewiston, have run against each other twice before, with Rushi winning in 2014 and Kingsley winning in 2016. Incumbent Republican Thyra Stevenson of Lewiston will face Democrat Rick Towsley in the general election. Towsley was a Sanders delegate to the Democratic National Convention in 2016. Both candidates are from Lewiston. District 6 Republican Senator Dan Johnson is running unopposed. As of last Friday afternoon's candidacy filing deadline, there was a new candidate for Latah County Commission. Democrat Kerry Scott has filed to challenge incumbent Republican Dave McGraw. This year, the District 3 seat race is for a 2-year term. There are also two candidates running for the District 1 Latah County Commission seat to replace Republican Richard Walzer, who is not running for re-election. Democrat Kathy LaFortune is running against Republican Tony Johnson. Both are from Viola. The District 1 seat is a 4-year term seat this year. The third Latah County Commission seat held by Democrat Tom Lamar is not up for election this year. Lamar has 2 years remaining in his term. For county commission races, the districts are for candidate pools only, and all Latah County voters can vote in all county commission races, regardless of which district they live in. There are also 5 candidates running for the Latah County Treasurer position. Peggy Gottschalk, former Idaho Representative Cynthia Gideous, Jan Ales, and James Gilder will face off in the Republican primary in May. The winner will face Democrat B.J. Swanson, who was longtime Gritman Medical Center board chair. Democrat Rod Wakefield and Republican Annette Biegler will face off in the Latah County Assessor's race. They are seeking the seat held by Democrat Pat Vaughn, who is not running for re-election. Democratic County Clerk Henrianne Westberg is running unopposed for re-election, as is Democratic County Coroner Catherine Maybutt. Those serving the positions of Treasurer, Assessor, Clerk, and Coroner will serve 4-year terms if elected. The positions of county sheriff and county prosecuting attorney are not up for election this year. Republican Richie Skiles has 2 years remaining in his term as sheriff, and Democrat Bill Thompson has 2 years remaining in his term as county attorney. You're listening to the KRFP Evening Report. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman. The Washington legislature ended its short session late last week, adding $1.2 billion to the state's two-year budget, mostly to fulfill the state Supreme Court's McCleary ruling, directive to fully fund K-12 education under the state constitution. The budget includes $970 million more for K-12 teachers' salaries, $27 million more for special education, and $29 million more for K-12 school employee benefits. The legislature was unable to pass Governor Jay Inslee's carbon tax proposal or the House Democrats' capital gains tax plan. There will be a one-time state property tax reduction of 30 cents per $1,000 assessed value in 2019. Other major legislation passed during the short session included a law requiring internet service providers to follow net neutrality and not censor or slow content legally available on the internet, and a bill phasing out the state's Puget Sound Atlantic salmon farming after a net pen collapse last year released thousands of Atlantic salmon into the Sound and nearby rivers. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the Moscow Pullman area. It's going to be mostly clear tonight and tomorrow, with a low of 40 tonight, high 59 tomorrow, 80% chance of rain Tuesday night after midnight, low 39, and a 90% chance of rain Wednesday, high 47. 50% chance of precipitation Wednesday night, rain showers before 3 a.m., then rain and snow showers, mostly cloudy, low 33, accumulation less than half an inch possible, and up to a half inch of new snow on Thursday, 30% chance of precipitation, chance of rain and snow showers before 10 a.m., then a chance of rain showers later, partly sunny, high 47. Currently, we have 58 degrees at the Pullman-Moscow Regional Airport. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscast you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events, and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. That's KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you could go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. Coming up next, news and opinions from the West Side with Eat the Airwaves. We'll have a short Red Eye Collective piece as well. Fill out the time because it's a short version of Eat the Airwaves tonight. At 6:30, Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio. At 7:30, episode 5 of our serialized radio drama, Return to Inverness. And music begins at 8 with French Fries. And we can also hear... let's see, coming in at 9 o'clock, we'll have Phobic Friends. So music throughout the evening. Take care. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman, community radio for the Palouse at 90.3 on your FM dial, now broadcasting at 1100 watts and online. And remember, all editions of the KRFP Evening Report are archived on the KRFP website shortly after broadcast.
KRFP is supported by listeners like you and by the Environmental Defense Institute, actively engaged with issues involving the Idaho National Laboratory, a Department of Energy nuclear site. EDI advocates for environmentally sound nuclear policy decisions.